Welcome to Creative Disturbance.
Rencontre avec.
Rencontre avec.
Meeting.
Meeting.
Spila Petric.
Spila, you are an artist with a strong scientific background. That is, you have a PhD in biology, which is already unusual. And you just went through the performance, Scotopoiesis confronting the vegetal ovenness, during 2 days on 10th and 11th of September 2015 at the Capriccia Galleria here in Ljubljana. And it's a project that is part of a overall Trust Me, I'm an Artist project. So first of all, could you describe what happened during the performance?
So the performance was set in the gallery. We had a field of germinating cress seeds. I was standing in front of the cress seeds for a total of 19 hours in two parts. First day, 12 hours. The second day, 7 hours. And me and the cress was illuminated by a projection light. Because of this, I was throwing the shadow, and this caused the cress under the shadow to react. It changed in morphology because of its natural response to low light conditions. The cress then tries to grow from the shadow and into the light. And through this, I was attempting to perform an intercognition between me as a human and the cress as a plant, based on physical conditions. So the sign, this is a process of biosemiosis, where the absence of light is the sign signaling that there is an object standing in the way of light. And the cress was reacting to this as the proof of this. We saw the difference in color and perhaps size of the cress that was directly in the light and the one that was in the shadow.
Trust me. I'm an artist.
The Trust Me, I'm an Artist project deals with ethics. So how do you consider, what is your approach or your take on ethics in this project?
So most of the projects I've done in the previous years have been ethically controversial, straightforward. Because I was doing DNA testing on myself to uncover disease, for example, or I was using rats in a project as bioindicators of our circadian rhythms. And I had a lot of questions and comments and protests about that. And I knew that actually nobody would ever object to using plants in an art project. And I think this is a point we can use as a reflection on how we actually construct the system of ethics, and how some organisms that are very much alive, very much complex, very adapted and essential to the whole functioning of the ecosystem on Earth are somehow, I would say, ignored and completely instrumentalized. And this is a very difficult, actually, topic to delve into, because we have no moral intuition of how we can react to this plant life, which through all the intuitive criteria doesn't really classify as being a moral being, one with which we can have empathy that is not just sort of based on anthropomorphism, but is an authentic connection with the plant. Some things are just unlike us. So this was a starting point for me as well, to try to answer what kind of situation in the context of art could provoke a questioning of the subjectivity of plants.
Why did you choose to put yourself in an uncomfortable position? You could have sit in a meditative position. There was no necessity of being uncomfortable.
So I chose to stand in this uncomfortable position, instead of sitting down or lying above the crest, quite intentionally, to try to come up with a possible ethical relationship or ethical usage of these plants, which is not based on not harming the plant in the sense that I was really, yes, I was standing in the way of their light, and even it was me placing them there to grow in these suboptimal conditions, which of course it's much nicer to grow out in the sun than under a production light. The only way I could justify this with myself is by saying, I recognize that the imposition I'm making onto the cress, and I would like to do this in any case, but at least I will also sacrifice some of what is inherently animal, which is this movement. And I will try to stand, which is this ultimate immobilization, because you are not relaxed, you're not, you know, meditating, you're actively using all your muscles to do the opposite of what you want to do, which is move. And I mean, this is especially true for me, from just a sort of personal perspective. Standing still is something I have never been able to do. Even when studying, I'm walking around. So this went really against the grain of my personality, in an effort to honestly make this commitment, and also be transformed by the experiment. I never started this opus, Confronting Vegetal Otherness, with answers. The reason why I'm doing this is because I have so many questions, and I just have no idea how to answer them and be smart about it and serve the public. You know, this is the way, I've read all the literature. Trust me, I'm an artist. I know what I'm doing. Well, I don't. So I'm hoping that through this series of experiments, some things become clear. So, you know, rather than relying on theory, I will just see how this process transforms me and my thoughts towards this.
So you said also that you hoped it would change yourself. So did it change yourself? And what is it that you went through? Those all hours standing there. And my feeling is that it was more difficult on a psychological level than on a physical level, but it was pretty boring standing there for all that time.
Boring is the last thing it is. In fact, I also initially thought that the process of this time passing would be very difficult for my... Yes, mental state, in the sense, what would I be busying my brain with during all this time? And the outcome is very surprising. That is not at all the problem. It is the physical pain, and it is overcoming just this, the fact that you're immobile while your muscles are aching, your back is aching, your neck is aching, and you just sort of have to stay there standing still. Because the process was about this intercognition and not about me performing and showing how, you know, this classical performance art, body arts way, my endurance, me as a human, look what I can do. I was able to talk and converse with people that came to see the performance, as long as my shadow stayed still, so I couldn't get too excited in conversation. But that also kind of helped pass the time while the audience was offering a lot of information, their own personal experience, their reflections on the piece. I was constantly busying my mind with what I was doing, and the only really difficult thing was overcoming the physical aspect of this.
And during the discussion and the ethical panel after the performance, Monica Baki came up with this interesting issue of burial, that we eat plant and eventually at least in the Western world, we are eaten by them. And I had this feeling that the setup looked like very much like a grave, and we had your shadow put, the plants turned green very quickly afterwards and regain their own power. Mm-hmm. So over you. So in the end, you remain this quick-moving animal that disappear, and there remain those slow creatures that go forever. Do you have any reaction about that?
I love this interpretation and association. And so I think there's a poetic and a beauty in this, the ephemerality of the individual, which we are, of course, very much attached to. And this notion of death is, I think, this archaic fear we all have and have to deal with in a way. And I think biologists specifically have been indoctrinated or taught to view this in a strange way. It doesn't make existence easier. I guess we are forced to see the bigger picture in this ephemerality of life and the life cycle, and also the strategies that are employed. So it's a bit of a rationalization of this nexus that makes an individual, whether a plant or a human. Also, that the realization that even though you do have an end as an individual, you're part of this bigger picture. I am talking now almost in this theological sense, but I guess in a way, when you have a deep awareness of living systems, you do kind of have to accept this. So I really appreciate that, even though it wasn't my intention, because, you know, the artworks are always formed from practical constraints and compromises that you have to make, that this association came through. Because if I refer back to the concept of the whole opus, I have pointed out that we are similar at the level of the cell in many ways, very different at the level of this perceived individual. But then again, as we look at deep time and larger communities, plant species and human species are similar in many ways, including this unimportance of the individual.
Just me. I'm an artist.
Yesterday, again, in the discussion, something was pointed out that it was less an intercognition between you and the cress, and more a conversation, so to speak, between you and your fellow humans.
Although art for non-humans, you know, it's an interesting topic that I'm also exploring in other projects. But essentially, art is a manifestation of the human trying to understand themselves. So it is about us, of course. And I actually even pointed it out that it's ultimately not about plants per se, because plants here are just a very example of how we do or completely do not relate to something that is radically different, this other, this vegetal other, but it doesn't have to be a vegetal one. It can be another race or an alien, anything that we cannot use this empathy to understand. We need other tools. So it's sort of an exploration of this. And this is what I hoped would come across. And the answers for the relationship to plants in particular, that for me still remains to be answered, or at least sketched out. So at the moment, I'm still, I would say, in the dark, even though I was standing in the light for so long. And I appreciate this position, because I believe that it's life in general is very complex, and it's absolutely self-indulgent to think that you have the answer.
Audio Labs. pastille et à sucer pour l'oreille. Candy.